execute judgment upon all, and convince all that are ungodly among them of all ungodly deeds which they dare not ungodly commit, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their lusts, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's superstition and imagination because of that. But beloved, remember the words spoken before the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to 15. We'll finish 15, Bobby. Chapter 1, verse 15.
Of what?
Jude.
Okay.
Jude 15. How many ungodlies are in verse 15 did we say it last week?
Four
ungodlies. That's right. Like four last time we said four.
That's right.
Yeah, that was right. That's right. Ungodly sinners spoken against it. On verse 16, what does God call these people that are unbelievers?
Murmurs.
Murmurs. What would murmuring be? What does that mean, murmuring?
Deception, wickedness,
Puppy. What part of speech is that word murmur?
Onomatopoeia.
Anonymous means what? Noun. And well means to do. To do the same thing in a noun as it says. To do the same thing. So murmur. Onomatopoeia. So murmurs. What is the second thing about these people in verse 15? What's the second thing it has in it?
No.
Yes.
Complainers.
Complainer. What is a complainer? How would you define a complainer?
Somebody who's unhappy and is never satisfied. Is always, in other words, they're not only unhappy, but they're, it could be wickedness, deceivers, and they always have something negative to say.
All right.
Not satisfied.
Amber, did you have something? Complainer? You said, that's fine. These things are true. They complain about probably most of our doctrines of faith. Do these deceivers and unbelievers agree with our doctrines of the Scripture? Do they agree with the doctrines of the Scripture?
No.
No, they don't. They don't complain about it. They're murmuring about it. And they really fight with us. And then, what is the next thing they say about these unbelieving people in verse 15? What's the third thing? Who that? That's right. He's the bundle. That's right. What did they say the third thing about these people? Yes.
Watching after their own lust.
After their own lust. How do we define lust in this case here?
Desires.
Desires, strong desires, and usually sinful desires. So they're walking after their own lust. And whatever they want, that's what they want to do. Do what they want, not what God wants, but what they want. Walking after their own private lust. And wickedness and sin. And then in verse 15, it brings out that word again. What word do we see? Wait a minute, 15, we're finished with 15. We're on 16, I'm sorry. 16, and what about the fourth thing about these unbelievers in this verse? Any hands on that? What's the fourth thing it's said about? Yes, Tim?
And I'll speak great swelling words.
What do you think that would mean? Great swelling words.
Well, it's got the meaning, so it's arrogant and prideful.
Good, arrogant and prideful. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Elaine, that's in a minute. She's over here. All right, Susie sits there, so I can wait. No excuses. Having a great swelling words. What do you think swelling words would do? You don't believe in people with swelling words. What do you think? Why do they use these big swelling words? Yes, Tim?
They want to
impress people. Impress. The bigger words sometimes do impress people, all right? What is the biggest word you could think of?
Onomatopoeia
is very big. Any other big word?
We don't know. We can't think.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism or something
that's
like that.
That's very good. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. That's good.
That's a good one, Randy.
So this is very important, and all these large, big words. You know, I tell you all the time about that woman that came to a big modernistic church and went out there. She didn't believe anything, but what a wonderful sermon. I didn't understand a word you said. These are big, swelling words. Just, I'd like to have people so they can understand that.
Well, that's more. Like the medical people that use all of the fear
medicine.
You can't understand what they're saying.
Very big terms. So medical people, all mostly from the Greek language, the big words, big words, big terms. So that's what they do in verse 16. Swelling words. And then what's their motive? And the last thing about them in verse 15. What's their motive? And he has it up. Yes. Emily.
Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage.
What does that mean? What does that mean today? Has it up? That me?
Maybe
I'll,
yeah, I
think
it is.
Which
is just
too
big. I
did,
I'm sorry.
I have to turn down
slightly.
Is that true?
Oh,
it's
on his whistle.
That's true. I'm
trying to go the other way.
Oh, okay, I thought it was me, but I guess it was you. All right. What do you think? They have swelling words and having men's persons in admiration. What do you think the men's persons in admiration is?
Could it be that they show favoritism because when he talks that these people have money and are able to, they want to please mm-hmm. those
yes.
that have the money?
That's persons, people in admiration. In other words, what they believe, they admire people. And why do they admire people in verse number 50? Yes, Tim?
To their advantage.
What do you mean? What's to their advantage mean?
Well, it's for their. Maybe they want a position. Maybe mm-hmm. they want their money. Maybe they want their influence. Maybe mm-hmm. they want their name. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever.
Well, that's for the advantage of these people. It's so one they admire these people for advantage of them. See, so they get them a little bit of advantage of money, as you say. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or company again.
So does that mean they show admiration to the person in order to win them to themselves? Is that what that's saying?
Well, it could be winning themselves, but for their own advantage probably was the last part. What do you think?
Well, it says having men's persons
in admiration.
Admiration. So that's why they're being friendly to them.
That's good.
They want
now, the question that comes to me is for admiration for the person admired, the person that's taking advantage, which person do you think is admired? Which person is admired? They speak funny words, having men's persons in admiration. Is the man's person being in admiration or the swelling word person? What do they? Or both? Which person is in admiration?
The one that wants to have an advantage.
Probably the one that, yes, that's right. Go ahead, Randy.
A flatterer. Would that be an example of the operation of a flatterer mm-hmm. to gain advantage or to promote their self?
Yeah, could be.
Could the, you know, compliment or flatter or mm-hmm. you know, give somebody credit? To mm-hmm. whom credit is not due,
right.
to make themselves feel like they're moving up.
Yeah, could be. So, if that's
it. They want to gain approval of somebody else.
Approval of someone else, all right? They want this advantage, they want this approval, and so.
That's you.
That is that. I guess I can. All right.
Is it me?
No, that's that. That is that. Advantage. So then in verse number 17, why do you think that first word is there? Hands on that. Why is that first word there? What does it mean, the first word? And written.
A contrast.
Contrast, yeah. In other words, that's what these unbelievers do. They can do all these things, and that's persons with secret advantage. They can lie, they can do a lot of things. But on the other hand, who's the beloved referred to?
Yeah. The genuine Christians.
Genuine Christians are there. And what does this Jude say about these genuine Christians? What is different between them and these unbelieving, wicked people?
What do they have that others do not?
This is an answer to your question, but when Diane was a little girl, I mean, preachers would call you beloved. Mm-hmm. Some preachers would. Mm-hmm. And she played church and she'd be helpful. You know, nobody was there. She'd pretend people were there and she'd call them beloved.
Oh, really? Interesting. Believers.
No, they're not really beloved.
No.
People call you beloved,
if
they don't necessarily mean beloved.
These were believers, genuine Christians. And what did they have that these unbeliever people didn't have in this verse, number 17? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261.
Yeah.
9018, give us a call or comment. Answer some of these questions. Yes, Jeff.
Randy?
Would Absalom be an example of something like operating like that, because he would interpose himself as a gauge, flatterer, and make promises to prominent people for self-promotion?
That could be. He finally got into the inner sanctum, but yes, he was a real bad situation. That's right.
Absalom,
David's son, that's right. Absolutely. He was a traitor to his father and the other things at town.
But these people were beloved to the Apostle Paul.
That's right. These were beloved to the Apostle Paul. But what did they have that the unbelievers didn't have? What did they have that the others, apparently these unbelievers, didn't have? It says, remember,
they had the words of God.
They had the words of God spoken by whom?
By the apostles.
By the apostles. So Jude, about 65 or so, 66 A.D., Paul had written many letters, the different ones, and they had some of these letters, some of these epistles from the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when you have a letter from Paul, it's from God, God's words.
This is from Jude.
Yeah, but that's right. But see, what it says, we have epistles of the Lord Jesus Christ from the apostles, whether it's Peter or Paul or whatever the apostle. Yeah. So, when you have letters and words by God, written by inspiration of God from these apostles, what should they do with these words? Pastor Dan?
You're supposed to remember them. I mean, they may not have them in writing, but mm-hmm. they just have them in memory. I mean, some of them are in writing, mm-hmm. others are just in memory. But it says, remember the words.
All right.
That were spoken.
And the words are spoken, and they should, what do they want to get the words? What should they do with those words? Hands on it. What should people do when they have the words from God?
Remember this.
Apply them.
Remember, to apply them, and to use them, and believe them.
What's the last word?
Use them.
Advise them?
Believe them, and use them, and
apply them.
Mm-hmm.
Apply.
Yes. So, now, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul and Peter and the others gave words at different times. This is Jude, about 66 A.D. What would have to happen if in 66 they had to still the words of Paul in 35 or 40 A.D., what would have to be true of those words? Any hands on that? What would be the
text? They would have had to been written.
Written first, and what else?
Written and circulated.
Circulated, what else?
What was the
question? What would have to be happened to these words that were written, given by the apostles, maybe 30, 34, to still have them 66 A.D.? Yeah. Pastor Dan?
Preserved.
A.D. It must be observed and obeyed. See, they must be preserved. That's an absolute preserve. Well,
it
have
to be written.
Written first and preserved by?
That's it. In this day, you can put it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be written down.
That's right. And to have the Bible, they can read it.
So I don't know what we're doing here.
So, remember those words.
Preserved by God.
Pardon me?
Preserved by God.
Preserved by God, absolutely. And the Bible preservation. What are some of the verses that tell us that the Scriptures are preserved? Why do we believe in the preservation, the Hebrew, Aramaic, the Greek words? Any verses on that, Pastor Dan?
Forever Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Settled in heaven? That's right. Huh?
It's about on earth, but I don't know. I just.
Scratching your head. That's all right.
I was scratching my head, but I was also thinking.
All right.
Well, we say it every Sunday morning. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
All right. God breathed, inspiration of God. Fun.
How did you know that this was inspired writing? How did they know this? Maybe Jude. Is Jude the one that wrote it?
Yes, Jude. This was Jude.
Well, he probably wrote other things too. So how did the Christian know what inspired him was just a letter written by Jude?
Anne-Marie, you had something before that?
When even the Lord Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words.
The words shall never pass away. That's right. That's three different times in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mm-hmm. Three different times, exactly the same thing. My words, not that's my soul.
Jude
was one of the early writers. He's the brother of James, and one of the apostles, I suppose, one of the apostles. And so God's words were preserved by these ones that were written by apostles. Yeah, to Anne-Marie.
Well, I was just thinking, I know it doesn't say it here, but in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ is called an apostle.
Yes.
With a capital A.
Right. So he's an apostle too. So people who read the scriptures, now the canon of scripture was settled in what year and by whom? The canon of the Bible, the canon?
About 90 to
100
AD.
Probably 90 to 100 AD. They were all finished, and then the churches said which books are to be in the scriptures and which books are not. Who decided, do you remember? And what time?
Second century wisdom.
It would be second century. And what did they originally have to choose between? Were there just these 66 books they had before them? How many others did they have that they did not think were God's words? Remember anything about that? Yeah, that
they had the Apocrypha.
The Apocrypha, a lot of books. The study of Pastor Dan.
They rejected Barnabas, Hermes,
yes.
Hermes.
All these different Apocrypha books, and they had to decide which was which. Now, some of the early writers and early leaders in the church didn't like even some of the books that we have on that. Who didn't like what book and why? Pastor Dan.
Luther, it was concerned about the book of James.
Was it Martin Luther? What do you think about James? What do you call it?
A straw.
A right straw epistle. Or was not too English. Ready? Oh, okay. Let's see. Yeah, Rob, right ahead. I pushed the wrong button, Rob. Right, because you call again, I pushed the wrong button. Okay? Call again, Rob. Okay? Oh, here's Sam and Karen calling too. Wow, too many people.
Push the wrong button there too. Maybe someone else should be trying
to. Rob, could you call again? And Sam, call again. What do you got?
I have a message here from
Sam and Karen
from Vineland that says Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken.
Very good. That's from Sam and Karen. Let's wave to Sam and Karen.
And what's Gabriella?
Gabriella too. Okay, thank you. Okay, let me call Rob.
Maybe she's taking a nap.
Call Rob. Thank you. Here's Rob, and call Rob. I'll call and see what he said because he has some good things to say to him. Hi, Rob. Yeah, we missed you last time. I pushed the wrong button. So repeat what you just said. Thank you.
The reason they knew that these were scriptures, one of the reasons, this is just one of the reasons, is that they were accompanied by signs and wonders to confirm the words. Mm-hmm. And that's just one aspect that they knew that they were writing. But if you read these all the epistles very carefully, they certainly speak back commandment of God and other words like that, but that was one major thing that they knew by signs and wonders, and that's why we know signs and wonders are done away with until Jesus Christ.
Very good. Well, thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago.
All
right. Let's wave to Sam. And his wife also got the way to stand. He also called, so that's great. Yes. All right. I'll try to push the right buttons on this phone. So that's the Apostle of the Lord Jesus. And then we read 18 yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay, let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Right to verse number 18. What is a mocker? Any ideas on that? Paul?
Someone who makes fun of, makes fun of the Word of God.
All right, that's good. A mocker.
Can be, as I said earlier, wickedness or deceit, or not only unbelief, but deceitfulness, and they think that people are all going to get Christians are weak. Now, I don't know if that could be a proper phrase of that, of being a mocker.
Mm-hmm.
But they think you're weak. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But I know it's not, but
it's possible. It's
someone that scorns the Word of God and the truth
mm-hmm.
of the Scriptures and rejects the gospel.
Rejects the gospel and mocks the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't believe in him and of his miracles and so on. So that would be true in the last time. How would you define the last time, do you think? Any hands on that? In the last time.
Verse 18. Tammy. Well, from the church age is the last time. The Apostle Paul said mm-hmm. he was in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on the perspective of it.
Mm-hmm. How many years have we been in the age of grace, roughly?
I think 2000.
Almost 2000, that's right. That is 2017. Mm-hmm. And so, some people have said, in the last days,
a little less than 2000.
We're in the last days, and some have said we're in the last of the last days. Henry?
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
And that church verse is what?
That is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5.
Good, 2 Timothy, that does it. Let's go, yeah, catch that.
I mean, it's possibly the age of the church is the last times.
Could
be. Or would this be pushing it into the millennial time period?
Well, probably the last times would be the times of the grace, probably. Millennium would be a little different, I think. That's probably the last.
The age of grace.
That'd be good. And so, it's been a number of years, as you say, 1700, almost 2000, 1700.
We're just 15 years short of 2000, Howard.
Yeah, 15 years short.
Whatever that means. The church began in 33 or 30
close to that.
AD or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's getting close. 2000 is
a good round number. And so he told you there'd be mockers. Now, what do these mockers do in verse number 18? What does God say about them in their lives and what they do?
They walk according to their own ungodly lusts, according to the flesh, their own desires.
Mm-hmm. They don't care about the scriptures. They don't care about the word of God.
Are the last time different than the last days?
Probably similar. Last time, which would be times and days, last days. Probably similar.
Last
the same.
Time, yeah. The time is
different. Yeah. In 2 Timothy, Henry, you read it, and it's saying in the last days. It's saying
yes.
The last days. And this verse here is the last time. And the time measured in days or months or years is still the last, something near the end. And walk after their own ungodliness. Now, do they care? What about Romans chapter 1? Do you have any people there in the old nations that walked after their own lusts? Remember chapter 1? What were some of the lusts they walked after? We read a verse this morning about that. What were some of the lusts they walked after? Even today, you have 10?
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
Fleshly wickedness.
Wickedness. Homosexuality, all these things, lesbianism, all these different lusts, fornication, adultery, all the name, a whole bunch of things. Sam, can we?
They also changed in Romans chapter 1, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the truth of God into a lie, mm-hmm. worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. This mm-hmm. lust for us.
Yes, that was a terrible lust of false worship, of false God and false worship. They walk after their own lust, ungodly lust. I think there's one verse that says the lust being a true encouragement that speaks to the Lord. I can't remember which verse it is.
The spirit lusteth unto envy.
Yes, the spirit lusteth unto envy.
I'm not sure where it is.
And there's another one, too. I don't know, but encourage very strong desire for the Lord rather than for evil. This is ungodly lust or desires. We should desire to please the Lord first. That's a desire. The word lust is not always evil, but we should desire good things, not bad things. And then, verse 19, I think we read 19, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is true of these ungodly people in verse 19? Any hands on that? What further information do we see about these men or women? Any hands on that? These. Who's the these refer back to?
Ungodly.
These ungodly people. They mock it to the Lord and mockers and all that. And what? How is it further defined?
That they separate themselves.
Right now, is separation a good thing or a bad thing?
Generally, it depends on what you're separating
from. Right. In this case, is it good or bad?
No, it's bad.
It's bad, see? Separation, and that's what the New Evangelicals and other people don't even talk about, separation from wickedness and from evil, the passionate.
The Gnostic text basically removed themselves.
Is that right?
They removed the word themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
we just separate.
We separate.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. They separate themselves.
Where's that?
Mm-hmm. Verse 19. But they separate. Other words, they just separate themselves, probably away from other people, probably away from the Lord's people, away from Christian people, the beloved people. They're separate. They don't want to be together. They don't want anything to do with this. What else are these called in verse number 19? What is another word?
Sensual.
Yes. What does that mean? Sensual. How many senses do you usually say that we have? Any answer? How many normal, Pastor Dan?
Five.
And what are the five senses we normally think of sensing? Maybe others, but what are the five?
Smelling.
Hearing.
Tasting.
Seeing.
Touch.
Touch and feeling. All right. So those are the five senses. So if it means central, in what sense does that mean? Central, what does that mean? Ten?
Well, that can mean focus.
Yeah.
And those things that they can sense with their sensory organs.
Sensory organs. In other words, what would be the opposite of someone is central? What would be the opposite? People that sense other things. Yes, Ten?
Well, they might be spiritual or intellectual, mm-hmm. or they're thinking about something besides mm-hmm. just what comes into their ears mm-hmm. and their eyes and their nose.
Be faithful. I mean, walking by faith mm-hmm. rather than by senses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to live by our senses. We need to live by faith.
Walk by faith.
Some people don't believe anything that they can't see, hear, touch, feel. All these senses, right? They should believe the Bible. That's crazy to them. But what kind of people are those that don't necessarily need the five senses to believe something? What kind of people are those? Is that good or bad to believe in something other than senses?
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ told Thomas, "The blessed are they that believe and not yet see, or mm-hmm. something worse to this effect.
See, especially Thomas, Thomas was not seeing yet believing.
And Thomas was at least for initially was doubting, well, they all doubted, but Thomas mm-hmm. was the last doubter of the 12, mm-hmm. of the 11, and said, you know, unless I touch his hands and touch his side and see the wounds he made, I'm not going to believe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he says, but then he said, you know, blessed were they to believe without seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe without seeing. If you had to have your senses of all seeing, hearing, touching, feeling, in order to believe the Bible, how can you get feeling, sense of believing that? It's got to be by what?
By faith.
By faith, not by hand or touch or feeling or seeing. It's a faithful situation. And people that are sensual, that's all they operate with. And most of the time, what kind of senses do they usually go after? What kind of senses?
Pardon me?
What kind of senses do these essential people delay in? Any hands on that?
Probably all of them. They're right. probably depending on all the senses to right. delay in whatever they're doing.
But what I mean, I guess, is what is the object of these four sensual people and not spiritual people? What kind of sexual things do they seek after? Yes, Ted?
Please themselves.
Please themselves. What does that lead them into usually? Is sin pleasing to many people?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're sensual, they can feel that sweet thing or see whatever it is. Filthy movies or, you know, any of these things. Sensual situations, people that are of the senses, sensual, and usually it's bad senses, and then what is true of them in the negative in verse 19, these ungodly people? What's the negative in verse 19 at the close? Yes, Henry?
They have not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, they don't have it. What type of people do have the Holy Spirit? What do we call those people that have the Holy Spirit? Hands on it? Yeah. Dan?
The born again Christians.
Born again Christians, Henry?
Yeah. The
generally saved people. When does the Holy Spirit come into these saved, genuine Christians? Yes, Dan?
The point of salvation.
Point of salvation. Do we feel necessarily that? And if not, how do we know the Holy Spirit indwells genuine Christian?
The Bible tells us. The
Bible tells us, by faith. We may not feel it such, that can't, right?
Just thinking about there's a whole church, you know, we've all heard of the church growth movement,
uh-huh.
with a whole bunch of carnal, they started to find out how people wanted to do church.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of kind of like have moved in this direction,
mm-hmm.
that people wanted in church, and it was these sensual things, certain kinds of music.
Strong music, big loud drums.
Right, and plus just the to divide that through group mm-hmm. consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are not of the spirit, but things that are physical in nature only,
mm-hmm.
being pawned off as religion or Christianity. They're using the same word. So I wondered if maybe these people were teaching some kind of carnal doctrine to go along mm-hmm. with their carnal nature.
Good. Now, Bill.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
The so-called religious experiences that are in these modern churches today, it's delusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're being hypnotized in that.
Mm-hmm.
They're led to believe a lie.
Some of these larger churches, maybe charismatic or other types of sort of compromises, what do they use in those churches to appeal to their senses? What happens, right?
Well, as I was saying, Pastor, big stages with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called, a name is called Elevation Church. They play rock, hard rock music. That's what people like. It's the sound they want.
Yeah.
And it's, to them, it's perfectly spiritual.
Yes.
They feel the senses and the emotion. They emphasize the one person of the Godhead.
And what about the things that appeal to the sense of hearing in these big churches? What appeals to the sense of hearing?
Rock music.
Is it just soft rock? Can I hardly hear it?
Well, I don't think so. I don't really know. I don't go there.
Well, yeah, but when you hear it on the TV, yeah, Bill.
I think there's a particular joy in understanding when you're reading scripture. I don't need music from a church. I don't need somebody in front of the church. Not to say that you know, we don't benefit from a pastor who knows what he's talking about, even though there are not so many of them around anymore. But reading scripture itself is a very intimate, very powerful thing. At least I feel that way.
Yes.
I could mull over one or two verses and just stay on that for a while. And it's just, you know, a great experience to, for me, is I don't know if that's a God experience or not, but I certainly enjoy that.
The time you mentioned rock music is appealing to the sense of hearing and feeling, I guess you could say. What is the volume usually in that type of a sense of?
Definitely. That's
right.
That's the opposite of the way I feel. Yeah. I don't want that loud noise.
Yes. The big drums and loud, I guess, right?
Also, Pastor, we're reading about an old-time lady evangelist in the Los Angeles area many years ago, you know, after the turn of the century. She transitioned her church, apart from being a female pastor or whatever. She totally imported Hollywood productions onto the stage of the church, big time, and she was famous for the plays and Hollywood type productions every Sunday.
What was her name, if you remember? Amy Semple first, yes. Amy Semple Simple.
Total Hollywood.
Yes, anything. Appealing to the senses. And the eyes, you know, lots of the big production many times is the feeling, the senses. You know, when there's loud music, you only can see it and hear it, but you almost can feel the reverberation in the room. It's a horrible thing.
Well, you can feel it.
Because the vibrations. The vibrations, big drums, booming drums, yeah. Right.
So it happened to me a couple of times. I thought, well, if they don't care about my ears, how do they care about my soul?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? You almost have to have earmuffs. That's one of the places. But you see it on the internet, you see it on the tubes, you flip on those things, you see it. And I don't know, I listened to something on the internet this morning. My wife had some of those statues down, and before some of the creatures, another group. There's a lot of loud stuff that's really horrible, but sensual. And sexual sensuality also is part of the censure. Sexual immorality and filthiness is part of sensualism. And not having the Spirit, as we said, the Holy Spirit, who comes on those who are genuinely saved as soon as they receive Christ as a Savior and they're really true Christians. We didn't read 20, did we? Did we read 20? No.
Yeah, we did read.
We did, okay. Now, what's the first word here? What's the first word here? And meaning what?
Opposite.
That's what just completely changed the whole sentence. Well, written in reverse. Put it in reverse. However, but, again, who's he talking to here? This beloved. Questions at VFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Glad to hear from you. So, beloved, what does Jude say that they should be doing, and how do you think it should be done and can be done? This verse number 20. What should they be doing in contrast to the sensuality? Tam?
Well, they should be building themselves up in the most holy faith.
And I'm sure the most holy faith would have an article. And if it does, the faith would refer to what? Question?
Doctrine. Whole body of doctrine.
Whole body of doctrine and theology, what the Bible teaches, what we should believe. And what does it mean to build up yourself? How does that take place? Paul?
Study and meditate on the scriptures daily.
Does anybody who's a genuine Christian ever get completely built up to the brim that he has nothing to build more up on?
No.
No, there's nobody who gets to the top. No matter what your age, how many years, been a real Christian. Continue to build yourself up in the most holy faith. Now, where do we find the most holy faith? Where's that found?
The scriptures.
The scriptures, the Bible. Does it matter which Bible you're using?
Yes,
it does.
What matters? What does it matter? What does it matter? What's the difference on the different Bible? Why does it matter?
Well, because a lot of these translations. I think I read a few of them myself, and they don't usually compare to what the King James. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. Pardon me if I'm not explaining myself too good. They don't usually compare with the King James version says. God's word.
Has anybody ever made a scripture bill?
We want a Bible which preserves in our language as close as possible the words that God gave the writers. We wanted a translation where the words were selected carefully to reflect the original tones of the language, of the scriptures. And that's why we stay with the King James Bible.
Has anybody hit with you at 10?
There are 356 doctrinal differences in the New Testament.
It's a lot, isn't it? 356 doctrinal differences. In the New Testament.
New Testament.
New Testament, yes. Has anybody ever made a real firm study on these various versions?
Dr. Mormon.
Where's he from? Yes. Where's he from?
He was born in the Indianapolis area.
All right.
Ministered in the London area.
And before that, where was he? South Africa. That's right. Now he's in
London. So sometimes we hear you say, Dr. Mormon in South Africa.
I do.
Sometimes.
Okay. But he's now in London, been there for many years. What kind of studies he made? How deep has he gone in the differences between things?
He identified every change that there was.
All right.
And with the...
How many total changes did he find in the...
Over 8,000.
In the New Testament alone, 8,000. Some don't make difference in translation. But as you mentioned, 356 of those are doctrinal passages. They're not doctrines, teachings. Let's see what Jacob has said. Hello? Oh, Bob Scope, I haven't heard from you for a while, Bob. Thank you for calling. Go ahead. Virginia, Central Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. Very good. Schofield, well, he's right up on things. So, yes, Ken?
Well, David also encouraged himself in the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, this was when all the wives were taken when they were at Ziklag.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, David, it says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed for the people's sake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Very good. Encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Very fine indeed. Well, that's wonderful. So we've got to be very careful. We've got to be very careful that we follow the scriptures and build ourselves up in the most holy faith. And that's found in the proper Hebrew and Aramaic words. Now, of all these new versions, except maybe one, what New Testament Greek text do they use?
The critical Greek text.
And what's another name for the critical Greek text? Gnostic Greek text. What does Gnostic mean? What is Gnosticism? Yes, Tam?
Knowing something.
They know it all. See, they know it all. And where was the headquarters of Gnosticism?
Alexandria.
Alexandria, Egypt. That's right. And did the Gnostics in Alexandria ever have a true New Testament text, Greek text? Did they ever get it? Who said that we can count on it? They used to have it. Anybody we know?
Dr. Norman,
and also who else? Dean Bergen. Dean Bergen said they had it. And once they had it in Alexandria, Egypt, what did they do with the text of the true text?
Well, they corrupted it.
They added to it. They took away from it. And to deceive people, which is harder to detect, something is removed, something is added to? Which is easier for people to detect if you're looking at things? Think about that.
But as far as...
If we compare with the King James, for example, which is harder to go after, or which is easier, things that they add, or things that just simply leave out?
Things that are added.
Added, okay. So.
Well, it's harder to detect something that's left out.
Okay, hard to say things are left out. Yeah, Paul?
I can't phrase this question, so correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't it say, and was it Revelation, that God said his word, whosoever add to God's word will add the plagues?
That's right. That's Revelation 20-21.
Whosoever shall take away from
the
word.
Yes, right. Take away from
the book of life.
Yes.
That's verse 19 of chapter 22.
22.
For I testify to that everyone who heareth these words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall take added to him plagues of this, that are in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Verse 22. 18 and 19.
That's where you find that verse. So, if you look around and you see these, take a version, any of these versions, if they completely drop out a word, but to me, just read it, it's hard to know. You have to compare one for the other. Here's the answer from Mark, Texas or Chicago. Yes, hi, Faith.
Yeah, hi, Tiffany. I just wanted to let you know that we watched both services, okay? We watched both services, okay?
Wonderful, thank you. Let's wait.
Well, you know, okay. And we had such a wonderful time Friday night.
Wonderful. Glad you came. Wonderful. Let's wave to Faith and Evan and Gary, all of them, all three of them. Absolutely. I'm glad they were there. Amen. So, it was New Jersey. It was way off. If you read the scriptures, you read the credit compare and see if they change it. But if they just drop out something, you don't even know it's supposed to be there, unless you know the King James. Just drop out. For instance, you didn't know that the last 12 verses of Mark, for example, were supposed to be there. You wouldn't know it, just period at the end of the book. That's the 10th.
Of course, when you have a parallel, which I have in my phone,
uh-huh,
and you can see the King James here and the other version, you can clearly see where something is added or taken away.
Yes, that's good. Okay, Jacob, you finally got to it. Okay, Jacob from Texas, go ahead. Yes. How's the snow down there? Good, praise the Lord.
Happy birthday,
well, thank you.
Thank you. I want to make sure you say we wish best away and happy birthday. And hello, everybody.
That's good.
Yeah.
This verse 18, I think everybody should be conquered in the last year, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm talking about this. John 2:18 and Hebrews 1:2. I think everyone covered pretty well. The little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now, under many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And over here in Hebrews 1, I'll read 1 and 2. In sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who hath appointed heir of all things by whom he also made the world. And it's been, there were plenty of false prophets before the cross, but this is the last age, you know, the last age that we know, you know, in the world as we know it, anyway.
Amen.
Forget that.
Well, good. Well, thanks very much. Jacob, let's wave to Jacob and his mother, Gail, there in Texas, way down in Texas. I'm glad the snow smelled. That's good.
How much did it get?
I don't know, but probably a little.
That's
good. 2 inches of vanilla. That's good. Now, I was talking about some adage affected. Someone, one of my grandsons, asked me a question 2 days ago. And, grandson asked me a question. He said, I bought myself a New King James, you know, quite a while ago. I gave him one of the King James, the fine King James Bible, he wanted it, so I gave him, should I use it? Should I do this? And should I use the New King James? And I told him, well, it's closer than the New American Standard Version. It takes changes 4,000 places, either added or subtracted changes. It's closer than the New International. I added up all those from Genesis Revelation, 6,500, and I stopped counting. But it does have 2,000 additions and subtractions, so you got to be very careful with it. And so I've asked Pastor Dan to maybe make up one of these New King James analyses. I analyzed it from Genesis to Revelation. I listed all 2,000 of these to see if show it to them so you can actually see. Now, you can't force anybody to take one version against the other, but I suggested they use the King James. And with the defined King James Bible, our son, D.U.A. Jr., has done an excellent job, hundreds and hundreds of hours, getting the definitions of uncommon words, putting right in the footnotes. That's the answer. But anyway, Pastor Dan would have to remember that tomorrow, maybe we'll get that to Jacob. He's a nice, dear grandson, I appreciate him. We talked at length there at, after the party. We talked over there the next morning, Saturday morning, at McDonald's. They don't go to McDonald's, go to Wendy's, but Wendy's don't open until 10 o'clock. So I had to go to the
early. And in a playroom, the children were playing.
And in a playroom, too. That's the children. They made yelling and screaming and jacking up and up and down and running. And every once in a while, the father, Jacob, had to say, get out of there. They're climbing up these things with the paper to put your books in holes, you know. They're climbing up those holes. He said, get down. Wow. Those are added
shoes.
The place was shoes. That's the place where you put shoes. So I wasn't familiar with that because I haven't played with that for quite a while. So anyway, but these are very important things that we building yourselves up in the most holy faith, and that's the doctrines of the faith. The only way to build yourself up is to use the proper English or Spanish or French or whatever version that's closest to the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, so it's accurately translated. Now, we're not sure about Dr. Yoon's translation in Portuguese, what is it?
Korean.
Because our man has written it in Korean. Dr. Jung has translated it in Korean. I assume that it's an accurate translation, so on, but Dr. Yoon said it's a bad translation. I mean, something, I don't know who's working with Dr. Yoon, whether some other Presbyterians that are different, but it's interesting. We'll have to see, maybe compare. Maybe I should ask when it comes out. I think it's not finished yet, is it, Dan? I don't think it's not finished. When it's finished, maybe I should get a copy and send it to Dr.
John.
Dr. John there in South Korea. Have a compare, Dr. John. Have a compare and see whether it's true or false, it's good or bad. See, I just trust Dr. John because I've known him for many years. And
What does that even say is different?
He doesn't say, but at the Dean Bergen Society last year, I think he talked about this translation he's made. He and another team. Was it a modernist apostate team, or was it a Bible believing team? I don't know what kind of team is with him.
What version are they using? The King James or Greek?
Well, they're I suppose from the Greek, but I don't know. I hope they take the Greek and compare it, Bill.
I think you should talk to Alan about that. He can give you some insights behind the scenes on that.
How did he hear about it?
I would say talk to him about that rather than me try to explain any of that to you.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to him. Which does he favor?
As far as I know, he's Dr. Jones.
I said, well, that's good. Let's talk to him. How do we go from that? Those who mix up in the Holy Faith and have to have the right Bible to build yourself up in the most holy faith. And of course, what is in addition to the reading in verse 20? Not just reading, building up by reading and knowing, but what else? The last part of verse 20.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Praying, yes,
Tammy? Praying in the Holy Ghost.
I didn't see Mom's hand, but for her question.
I've been resting.
That's good. Resting. praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, asking the Holy Spirit of God to guide and direct all of your activities. If you read cold and ask the Lord to help you, give you wisdom, what's it mean, then it many times falls off your shoulders. It's not always easy to remember all and understand all that's in the Scriptures. I've been reading it ever since I've been saved in 1944, once a day, sometimes the first I read a couple times a year, rather. But many things I still don't understand. Does that make me stop reading? I don't stop. I keep going. I pick up new things every time I go through it. Praise the Lord for it. Build yourself in with the Holy Spirit of God acting and helping understand. Did we read 21? We read 21, David? Did we read or not?
No.
Well, that's what 21, 22, and 23. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And a son of compassion making a difference. And others to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, bringing you into darkness. All right, verse 21. What kind of a command is this, verse 21? Keep yourself. After that?
It's imperative.
It's imperative. And what do they keep themselves in? That's 10?
In the love of God.
Now, there's two kinds of genitive, as you know, objective genitive and subjective genitive. The love of God means God's love. Love for God would be the objective genitive. Which do you think would be here, or are they both possible?
Love for God.
Is it?
For God.
Love for God, that's good. The love for God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now, God's love is always there. But if it means God's love, and our love for God, that would be objective genitive. Keep yourselves in love. Now, what if people fail to keep themselves in love for God and not being close to God? What might happen at that time?
He might be rebuked by the church in Revelation. He was at Ephesus?
Yes, it was
Ephesus.
Lost the first one.
They lost the first one too. Now, nevertheless, Revelation 2:4, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love.
Left thy first love. That's interesting. And what first love would that be to them? Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Or Jesus Christ and love for Him. In other words, some people start out all right. They seem to love the Lord. They're saved, but the next day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two, there's nothing. It just seems like they're dead. What is the trouble with it? What should they have done that they probably haven't done? To keep themselves in their love for God.
Obey the scripture. There's something that the Lord showed them in what they've read and they haven't obeyed.
So read it, then also obey it, Paul.
I was going to say not only to read and obey, but also to believe what the scripture says and to apply it in one's everyday
life. Absolutely. So keeping ourselves, love God, love for God. And what's the second thing that he's telling these people to do in verse 21? What's the next thing, the second thing? And what does it mean? Second thing, and what does it mean? Yes, Ken?
Thank you for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
What is
mercy? Eternal life. I mean, it seems like it's referring to the rapture.
Could be. And the mercy, that's God's mercy to us, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for him, and it could be the rapture whenever he takes us home to be with the Lord out in the air. And that's a constant action to continue to look for his mercy. And what's the last part?
I suppose it could also be in different situations. Like, sometimes you might get to you've prayed about something for a long time, and you're just ready to give up. And if you look for God's mercy, even in spite of the situation.
Now, what time does a genuine Christian have eternal life? Anyone say that? At what time? After that?
Moment of salvation.
Moment of salvation. But you see, it could be that this is referring to, as Tammy said, maybe the rapture, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. In other words, a physical eternal life in heaven with the Lord and with the rapture. That could be entirely possible. Looking for that is mercy taking you out of here. And I'm sure the early church, with all the persecution, were looking for the coming of the Lord because of the persecution was terrible. But he hasn't come yet. He could come at any moment. What's that called? What type of rapture?
Pre-millennial.
And what is the name of that special head?
Painless finish.
Oh, it's what is that?
Preacher.
That's right. What's that
imminent. Imminent.
Imminent. What does imminent mean? Any hands on that? Imminent.
Anytime.
Tammy? Probably Bob.
Anytime.
It's finally solved. Anytime.
You have much energy to raise your hand.
Well, I'm sorry. Rest up and you can feel that. Any other comments? And we're going to stop right here. Pick this up, Lord willing, next Sunday. Any other comments or questions you might have before we close? I heard my tape click off. Ready?
Well, and this Jude letter is like a admonition to resist or not get taken in by this worldly attack.
Yes.
Would that be part of saying the Lord of Christ? How do I stay right with Jesus Christ? Actually, then it goes on to warn, are we staying in the witness? Are we warning people? Are we in the battle?
Yes.
To stay separate from this world.
That's right. Especially, as he says in verse number 3, earnestly contend.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What's our next book after this?
The next book after this? No, Romans. We're back to Romans. I stay away. I haven't written the whole book. 1,000 pages about this. It's so complicated. It's so long. In fact, we lost half of the people before we got through Revelation. So I just figured out. No, it's a tedious
thing.
But what I suggest is, if you're interested in it, get that book, that 1,000-page book, and look at it, and that'll help you. But I want to go back to Rome, see? That's why I'm going. Yeah, okay, thank you for checking. What did you suspect?
I thought possibly he could go to John, but probably Romans.
Yeah.
Or he didn't go to Acts,
you know. Oh, no. But we've had that all in the videos and audio, but not in writing. Right. Yep. That's your name.
I've got a message from New York. It says, hi. No revelation? Question mark. Or a question mark. Great question mark. One of those things.
Well, that's a big book. I hate to carry it up here. Turn to it all the time to figure out what I'm saying.
I guess it was a frowny face. No revelation.
Oh, frowny
face. It's had a face, yeah.
I'm for revelation, no problem about it, but get that 1,000-page book and that'll help you maybe. Yeah, Bob.
I'm ready. I would like to have an Old Testament, one of the short books or something.
Well, we just use New
Testament. But I forget the history.
I know. Well, that's what we read our Bible every day. And we've got
to. And I don't seem to remember it.
Nobody remembers everything about it. We just read it anyway.
Okay.
So we're going to Romans
Friday, Friday
next week.
Friday. Romans, no, we got one more couple verses of Jude.
Friday's
Old Testament. Friday. Oh, yes, better than the Old Testament. That's fine, no problem. But we go, the church right close by is in the Old Testament, teach them in. I just feel the New Testament is the way to go as far as the preaching, but it's a new covenant of grace, and that's the Old Testament is for us, but the New Testament is to us, and it's for us as well. So,
I forget the stories of the Old Testament.
Well, we're going to be at the end of the first day of January, we're going to go back to Genesis, our Bible reading. You hear about it, we read, every single morning we read 85 verses per day, listen to it on the tape. And
I don't remember.
We don't have to remember everything. I don't remember anything either, but yes, that's good. Paul.
I'm trying to do this, and I'm having not having any success. When you start with the book of Genesis at the beginning of the year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What book in the New Testament do you go to? In other words, at the time when you, in other words, at the time when you start Genesis, right?
Uh-huh.
What other book do you read during the course of that? In other words, during the course of that time.
Well, as far as our Bible reading, we wait 9 months for the Old Testament and 3 months for the New. See, but you could read any book you want for the New Testament on your own. But if you're going to go through the Bible, you've got to do it. And at least finish the 85 verse section of the Old Testament. Then anything else you want, that's fine. You've got the whole day, 24 hours. Do what you want.
So in other words, I'm going to try to do it successfully this time.
Well, that's be good.
When you read it, in other words, when I read it, when I got the tapes too, it's this happened.
That's good.
I mean, it apps on my phone too, in other words.
That's good.
In other words, I spent like the 9 months on
Old Testament.
The Old Testament. Okay, then.
That's right. But then anything in addition to that, read the New Testament, read anything you want. I'm not saying this, don't do that, but to get it systematically, if we forget the Old Testament, I think it's not progress, that you lose much. Remember in Romans, what was the verse? Whatsoever things are written, of course, are written for our learning. That we, through the comfort of Scripture, might have hope for us, so that's what I'm in favor of. Many things in that Old Testament, just wonderful, rich things. We don't really have anything. So, like the genealogies, I mean, we don't know too much about those in Genesis, but we just go ahead anyway and go over. Any other comments or questions before we go? All right, Lord willing, next week we'll take up with verse number. What is it? What is the verse we're on? 22. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for thy word. We thank you for Jude. Help us to earnestly contend, not be contentious, but contend, not with each other, but for the faith, the words of thy giving to us, the theology, the doctrines, things that thou dost give us to. Help us to hold them precious and defend them, even with our lives. More important are defending of thy words and the truth that are in there, the Savior, and the salvation, all the things, rather than have the approval of men and women, and yet lack the defense and contention for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Guide us and direct us, bring us back on Thursday for Bible study, and next Sunday, may we live for thee who died for us, the Lord Jesus, who died for us. Help us and go with us and bless us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.